Well, good morning, all. It's good to be with you in Ballymena this morning. Perhaps you can take the precious word of God and turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We want to just look at the surrounding events around our dear brother Gideon. So Judges chapter 6, we'll commence our reading at the verse number 1, looking to the Lord to bless the very reading of His word to our hearts this morning. Judges 6. Verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, and the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till all come on to Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent the prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go, and this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? May the Lord bless the reading of His word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Well, it is good, as I said, to be with you in Ballymena this morning. One great pleasure about standing here is every time people pray for me and refer to me, they call me our young brother. When I'm in the youth fellowship, I'm usually referred to as the older members of the youth fellowship, so it's nice to be addressed as the young brother for a little bit of a change. So it is good to be with you. Let me thank you when I have the opportunity here just for your support and prayers and every way that you have supported me. This congregation has fully and very well supported me in every realm where I needed help. And I thank you for that personally. I trust the Lord will richly bless each and every one of you for your individual help toward me in the service of the Lord. This morning we're turning to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. And perhaps you can open the word of God there, and we'll bow briefly for a word of prayer, and we'll look to the Lord for His blessing upon us here this Sabbath morning. We'll pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of each and every one of us under the clean clothes and the clean face, O Lord, thou knowest the heart that is within. Lord, we are in and of ourselves sinful men and women, but we rejoice, O Lord, that thou hast been pleased to take thine elect and to save us and to bring us into relationship with thyself. We thank the Lord that we can approach thee now in the place of prayer, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And my Father, as we stand here or sit here this morning, Lord, we earnestly plead before thee. We ask of thee for a special outpouring. We would ask of thee, O Lord, that it would please thee to take thy word, for thou art the one well upon earth preached with authority. And we would ask of thee this morning, O Lord, that the voice of God should be heard with authority in the hearts of men and women. Lord, deal with those who are unsaved. Build up the saints, Lord. We ask of thee in thy graciousness to remember us this morning and do us good, Lord, for thy great name's sake and for the advancement of thy kingdom. Lord, we even remember our other brethren away preaching. Remember Stephen, remember Tom, remember the other students this morning. Help them, O Lord, enable them to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, even undertake for us throughout this day. Lord, may this house this morning and this evening know the presence and thy blessing upon it. Lord, do us good now, we pray. And these things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory and for his honor alone. Amen. Amen. 150 years ago, you will know well that this land experienced a breath of God, when many people were drawn out to follow the Lord, many people drawn into obedience with the Almighty God. But how far we have wandered from that path. That was 150 years ago. And how this land has changed. The evidence of that was found yesterday in our town center, in our city center. There was a sodomite parade, which I'm sure that most of you are aware of. That's quite a contrast to 150 years ago, when the people loved the Lord and loved obeying the Lord. Now parade around our streets in disobedience to the very word of God. Now in our day, we can truly say that this is a blessed nation in turmoil. And so it was in the days of the judges in chapter 6 here. For their situation was greatly like ours. This was a nation. This was a people who were greatly blessed by the Lord. Delivered out of the land of bondage. Out of Egypt. They were taken into the promised and the blessed land. What a privileged people. Yet in chapter 6 verse 1. We read those often repeated words. And I have to say, when I read the book of Judges, they turn my stomach every time I read them. 6 verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Those are grievous words. Those people were in a similar situation to us. Why? They've forgotten the Lord of glory. They had no care, no concern about the one who sits on the throne. They rejected the one whom they once served. And they went to indulge in the interests, in the gods, whatever you want to call them, of that day and of that generation. But graciously, in time, there was a realization that they rejected the Lord. Soon they repented of their sins and the Lord was pleased to deliver them. Of those two essential ingredients, the realization of sin and repentance of their sin, with those two essential ingredients, the Lord was pleased to step in and even to deliver this people from the bondage which they were found in. And how did he do that? He raised up a man. And with that man, he raised up an army. The man was called Gideon. The Lord was fit to take, the Lord was pleased to take this one man and the army that was with him and change that nation for the glory of his name. Now it's Gideon and the situations around him that we want to just briefly consider here this morning. I want to leave before you a blessed nation in turmoil, very like our own. A nation that was once blessed, but now in turmoil. And that's what we have here in Judges chapter 6. Just first of all, this morning, I want to consider their disobedience, which was reproved. Their disobedience, which was reproved. Now, all actions have consequences. When we act, when we do something, it has a consequence, obviously. And in verse number 1, we read here of a people who did evil in the sight of the Lord. What was the consequence of that? The Lord handed them into their enemies, handed them over to the hand of their enemies. Here was a people who were blessed, but they had forgotten, they had betrayed, disobeyed. They had rejected and refused the one true God of heaven. And as a result, the Lord had to deal with them in the way that he did. Let me just compare these words with Judges chapter 5 and the verse number 2. Judges 5:2. We read there, "Praise ye the Lord." This is a song of Deborah and Barak. In the verse number 2, they say, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." When the people, what was their action? When the people willingly offered themselves, there was a consequence. That consequence was that the Lord delivered them. The people acted in willingness. And as a consequence, the Lord delivered them. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. We don't have to. I'll read it to you. You know the words very well. Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place." What was their act? They're a people all of one accord. That just means they were all of one mind, one thought, one ambition, one desire. They were all looking to the glory of the Lord. And they desired the Lord to be uplifted and to be glorified. What was the consequence of that? Well, the Lord poured out His Spirit upon the people. And the people were moved by the Holy Ghost. And multitudes were saved to the glory of God. Here we have a variety of people in Acts 2. There were preachers. There were prayer warriors. There were those who had forsaken the world. There were those who had fully given themselves to the work of the Almighty God. All with one accord. And the power of God fell upon them. There was a willing people and the Lord blessed them. There was a people of one accord and the Lord blessed them. In Judges 6:1, there was a people who were evil. And the Lord had to deal with them in a severe manner, in a severe way. See, these are people who were disobedient. But the Lord reproved them for their wicked ways. It's interesting also to note that it was the Lord who allowed the Midianites to conquer the people of Israel. Do you know what that means? That means that the people of Israel, by their own strength, by their own ability, by their own wisdom, it wasn't their own abilities which preserved them. It wasn't their own abilities which kept them independent from their enemies. It was the grace and it was the mercy of God who kept them. But once they rejected the Lord, they forfeited the blessings, the freedom, the privileges which the Lord was pleased to bless them with. Now, as a result of being handed over to the Midianite people because of their sin, because of their disobedience, we have what happened in verses 3, 4, and 5. I'll just read them with you quickly here. "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they camped up against Israel, and then camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till all come on to Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers," and so on. The end of the verse says, "and they came to destroy it." Verse number 6. "And Israel was greatly impoverished." You see, that's a consequence of disobeying the Lord. Destruction. Misery. And friends, for us today, young people, older people, doesn't matter who you are, but living in disobedience to the Lord will bring a life of destruction. and an eternity of misery with it. Disobedience to the Lord will have its consequence in this life and the life to come. Put it very simply, if you play with muck, what happens? Your hands get dirty. You play with sin, you'll stink with it for all eternity. Here was a people who disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord reproved them for their sin. Their disobedience was reproved. Secondly here, there was found amongst these people a decided repentance. You see, they've seen the result of disobeying the Lord. Look at verse number 6 again. And Israel was greatly impoverished. You see, they played with their fire and they burnt their hands. They followed other gods. They followed their other interests. And the true God of heaven allowed them to pursue those things. Furthermore, He gave them companions of a like precious passion, or of like passions. They were the Midianites. These people wanted their sins. They wanted these heathen gods. So the Lord gave them exactly that, and the Lord gave them companions to fellowship with them, the Midianite people. It's interesting here. See, these people of Israel, they appeared to forget that the Lord didn't need them. They appeared to forget that the Lord didn't depend upon Israel. Rather, He was being merciful and gracious. So as a matter of fact, they depended upon the Lord, but they seemed to forget that. And they rejected Christ. They cast away the God whom their father told them to worship. And they followed their own lusts, their own desires, their own gods. But soon they realized that their new lifestyle wasn't as beautiful, perhaps, as they first of all anticipated it to be. For there was nothing but destruction and misery, as we read in verses 4, 5, and 6, where it says they were impoverished. You see, sin has only one object, friends, young people. It's only one object: to destroy happiness, to destroy an individual's life, to destroy everything, essentially. You see, as we often say, the grass is always greener on the other side. And here's a new generation. A new generation raised up, and they wanted to cast off the ways which their fathers had told them. No doubt they've seen all the indulgences that came with the heathen gods, all the wickedness that was involved in the worship of those gods, and they perhaps wanted to partake of it. In order to partake of those indulgences and those wicked ways, they had to forsake the true God of heaven. It wasn't too long, as I said, before they found that the Lord whom they rejected was merciful and gracious, more so than the gods which they now were following. Because the gods which they now followed were no gods at all. The imagination of the minds of men. And of course, they were only the serpent dressed up in his old disguise. Young people, there's an example for you. A people who were taught the Word of God faithfully. But they've seen the world. They've seen all the pleasures that are out there. They wanted to partake of it, and they did partake of it. Left a life of destruction and misery. Young people, consider the Word of the Lord. Don't follow the same path. For satisfaction and true blessing is only found with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they saw the result of rejecting the true Lord and following their own lusts and sinful habits. So what did they do? They were ruined. They were destroyed. The Amalekites, the Midianites came in. They destroyed everything. Sin had its effects on them, and it destroyed and impoverished them greatly. So what did they do? They remembered a God whom they once followed. They remembered a God of whom they were once taught about. They remembered a God of their fathers. And they prayed unto Him and praised the Lord, the one who sits in heaven, is ready and willing to hear those who come in repentance. Here was a people who backslid into the world. Here was a people who rejected the Lord, but yet the Lord was merciful to hearken on to their prayer. And so, I want you to note here that they turned and they cried on to the Lord. In verse number 6, look at the last few words. And the children of Israel cried on to the Lord. Made enough of their own ways. They remembered the goodness and the blessedness which is found with the Lord. They recalled what their fathers once taught them. And so they made the best decision they ever made. They repented and they cried on to the Lord once again. But what happened when they cried to their false gods to deliver them? What happened when they cried upon their own lusts and pleasures to deliver them? Nothing. Because those gods had no ears. But what happened when they prayed on to the Lord? It's a very different situation. For the Lord was merciful. And He lived. And He has power. And He delivered them from the hand of their enemies. See, the goodness of the Lord is very evident in this passage. So we've seen a people here whose disobedience was reproved. And then they made a decided repentance and they came on to the Lord. Now how did the Lord deliver them? He delivered them by raising up a deliverer. A deliverer was raised up. You know, the Lord could have easily simply with the might of His arm, destroyed all the Amalekites, all the Midianites. But in the will of the Lord, He chose to do it through an instrument. The Lord chose a man. And He chose with him an army to stand and to contend against the wickedness and the evil of that day. The Lord in our land could simply save those whom He wanted to save without any of us doing anything. Yet we read in the Scriptures that it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We live in a land which is overrun by, we could say, Midianites and Amalekites, sinners. A land which is greatly influenced by wicked ways, but it's the Lord's will to raise up a people like us here in this building this morning. To stand and to proclaim the truth of Christ and to contend for the glory of God. Therefore, wherever the Lord would have us to be, at work, at home, in the streets, in the pulpits, wherever it may be, it's our responsibility to be like this man whom the Lord raised up, to stand for the glory of God and to contend against every evil power that there is. Now, when some event happens in the world, usually it's taken to the newspapers and the newspapers present it. And a paper boy comes very often, he lifts the paper and he delivers it to the people. Gideon was quite like that. We need to be like that. Like a paper boy preacher. A people who have good news. The news of a God who will save. It's our responsibility to take it out and to give it to the world. And to proclaim the truth of God's word. See, in this day, in Judges 6, the Lord was pleased to raise up a deliverer. His name was Gideon. Let me just quickly here consider his person. Now, he's got a good name. His name is Gideon. Now we meet him there in verse number 11. We read there of Gideon who threshed wheat by the winepress. Now, his name, if you look up his name, it just simply gives the idea of a warrior. A man who's strong in battle, a man who will contend. And his name certainly gives evidence or suggests that he's not the coward, which he's often made out to be. Gideon was no coward. You consider how the whole of Israel Everybody in Israel was hiding. So was Gideon. He wasn't a coward. He was being sensible. He was being wise. But you look at the words here. It says he was behind the winepress. He wasn't hiding himself. He was hiding the wheat on which he was threshing. Gideon was no coward. He was the man who was out. Well, what was he doing? He was going about his daily business. He was probably, if he had a family, he was preparing for his family. He was preparing what they needed to eat for the day. This man was no coward. But he's also given a second name. Look with me at verse number 32. Verse number 32. Therefore on that day, he called him Zerubbabel. That's referring to his father. His father called him Zerubbabel. I thought that was an interesting name and another good name. Why is that? Well, he was given that name because of his reputation. It's almost like a nickname. He was given this name because of his reputation. Now, what does a name mean? It's not too complicated, to be honest. If you look at it, verse number 32. Therefore, on that day, they called him Jerub-Baal. Second part of that name is a word for Baal, the heathen god. The first part of the name, Jerub, it just means a man who strives, a man who contends. What does the name mean? They called Gideon the man who strives with the heathen god. That's the reputation. That's some testimony this man has. He's known as a man who will stand against anything which opposes the true God. He's got the reputation of a man who will stand against all wickedness and all heathenism. That's a good testimony. I would pray that we would all have such a testimony in our own land, in our own workplace, wherever we may be. Now, although he has two good names, yet in Scripture, in verse number 15 here, he's still, by inspiration, he's shown to be the least of men. Verse number 15. The Lord has came and he spoke to him, and Gideon just speaks of himself. And he says here in verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father was poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He presents himself as a weak man. And yes, in the physical realm, he may have been the least of men. But the truth of the matter is, he wasn't drawing his strength from physical realms. He wasn't strengthened by who his father was. He wasn't strengthened by the riches of his family. No, he was strengthened by his heavenly father. He was strengthened by the riches which he had from heaven. Gideon was prone to look at himself here. The Lord in providence draws his eyes away to remember the God from whom he draws his strength. To remember the God who will give him the riches which is necessary. 1 Corinthians 1:27. The God have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I think that defines Gideon very well. I would say that defines the most of us here this morning. Really, as a matter of fact, Gideon's background, the fact that he was brought up, as it were, in a poor family, in the least of his brethren, that was a tremendous advantage. Why? Because he knew he had no strength in himself to boast in. If the Lord would have been pleased to give him great strength, which he did, if the Lord would have been pleased to prosper his way, he couldn't boast in his own ability. Because he was nothing. Christian friend, maybe your service for the Lord is hindered because you focus on your own weakness. Be assured your own weakness is actually a strength. Because you realize in yourself you have nothing to boast in. And therefore, you're an instrument to be used in the hand of a mighty God. So we're considering the deliverer which the Lord raised up. We've considered his person. Now we just quickly look at his preparation. Verse number 14 and 16, please read there with me. Hadn't really time to read the whole chapter here, but I know you're largely familiar with this passage. Gideon, as I said, was at the wine press, and the angel of the Lord came to him. Of course, it was the Lord, as we see in the reading. And the Lord comes and he speaks to him. And in verses 14 and 16, the angel gives him a commission. Verses 14 and 16. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Verse number 14. The commission is there to go. Verse number 16. The commission is there that surely I will be with thee. Go. I will be with thee. Now, does that sound familiar to anyone? Go, I will be with thee. You could turn over, will not, but you know the passage well. Matthew 28, the verse 19, where the Lord gives the great commission to his disciples. And what does the Lord say there? Go. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you even on to the end of the world. What's the gist of that commission? Go, I will be with you. The commission which the Lord gave those many decades ago to Gideon here is the exact same commission which the Church of Christ, the New Testament Church, us today, is the exact same commission which the Lord gives to his people today. Go, I will be with thee. That bestowed confidence in Gideon. How much more should it bestow confidence in us here today? We've seen Gideon's person, his preparation. And as we consider his preparation, he was given a commission, but he also had to get his doctrine right. Before he served the Lord, he had to get his doctrine right. Look at verse number 19. And Gideon went in. I'll just recap what's happening here. Gideon has received the word from the Lord, and he now asks the Lord to stay with him for a time, to continue to speak to him. So Gideon goes into his house and he prepares what we find in verse number 19. And Gideon went in to his house and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the yoke and presented it. So here we have a few things. Verse number 19, we have a kid. Small goat. We have unleavened bread. We have flesh in a basket. And we have broth in a pot. Now, in the first reading, it would certainly suggest that there's, four separate things there. Not so. I'm told it was custom in this day, if a traveler would come to someone's house, the good people of the house would receive in the traveler, and they would make a meal for him. They would take a kid and they would take unleavened bread. Then they would take the kid and they would separate the kid into two parts. Half of it to immediately supply the hunger and need of the traveler. The second half they would put in a basket so that he could take it on his travel with him. And that would supply his future hunger's need. Supply his future need. So here we have the kid, we have the unleavened breads, we have the flesh of the kid in a basket for the man to take with him, and we have the flesh of the kid in the broth, which he was able to eat immediately. And what was the Lord teaching him? What's the Lord teaching us? They have a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the kids. We have the unleavened bread, of course, a clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ who was perfect. Like the unleavened bread also, he had no sin, no leaven in him. He was perfect. The kid itself, as we said, was separate into two bits. Part of the kid was given for the traveler's immediate needs. Part of the kid then was given for the traveler's future needs. And of course, the Lord is all sufficient to supply our needs today and our needs in the future and forevermore. He is the Lamb of God who has been given to us, the weary travelers, in this journey through life. He needed to get his eyes upon the coming Messiah. Also, he needed to grasp his standing in Christ. Just quickly here, verses 22 and 23, we read these words, 23 and 24. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. You'll know that Shalom means peace. The assurance of the blessing of God came upon this man's heart, upon this man's soul. He had peace with God. And on that basis, he was encouraged and strengthened to go and to serve the Lord. And friend, let me ask you this morning, if you are unsaved, do you know what it is to have peace with God? Do you know what it is to have gone to the Lord to have your sins dealt with and to journey through the rest of your life, knowing that if you were to pass away, that all is right between you and the Lord? What a blessing. What a privilege it is to have peace with God. How do you find that? You find it in Christ. You flee to the Lord who alone can provide that peace with God. So we've seen his preparation. He was given a commission. He had to get his doctrine right. He had to see the coming Messiah. He had to understand his standing in the Lord. Then in verses 25 and 26, the Lord gives him a message. 25 and 26. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. What a message Gideon had to deliver to the people of Israel. What is the message? That there's one God. That there's one God who sits on the throne and he lives in sovereign power above every other God, every other king that is in this world. See, here's just a couple of things here I'm going to quickly mention. In verse 25, Gideon is instructed to take the second bullock. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly what Gideon would have seen, but when I read this, there's one thing that came into my mind. It's very likely, and it is very likely, that the second bullock was taken because the first bullock was already used or marked for the worship of Baal. So it was unfit to be used in the sacrifice. It was unfit to please the Lord. So Gideon was commanded to take the second bullock. And it was perfect. It's said to be 7 years, the number of perfection. It was said to be pure and perfect. I'm just saying when I read this that my mind flew to one instance. The first and the second Adam. The first Adam failed, was unfit to satisfy a thrice holy God. But the second Adam was perfect and pure and well able. Not only able, but willing
to satisfy the true God of heaven, being God himself. And so Gideon was commanded to take the second bullock, and I love this, with absolute triumph and with power, he was told to go out and to cast down all the other heathen gods. And while all the other heathen gods would lie with their face in the dirt, the one true God of heaven would be lifted up, and the sacrifice would be made to him alone. That's the message which this man was told to give to the people. And on an old rock, in an ordered place, the sacrifice was made. Typifying in years to come, of course, on a rock called Calvary. In an ordered place, in an ordered time, the Lamb would there be sacrificed to put away the sins of men forever. This is the message which Gideon was told to give to the people. And he gave it to them. But they didn't like it. Look at verse number, just the last verse we're going to look to here. I'm going to finish very quickly here. Look at verse number 30. Gideon gave them the message. And in verse number 30 we read, "Then the men of the city said unto Joash," Gideon's father, "bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." Gideon went and he preached to the people the message which the Lord gave him, but the people didn't like it. And my friends, when you go into the world, don't expect people to love you, to hug you, and to thank you when you tell them that their lifestyle is going to take them into a lost eternity. But it doesn't matter what people think. We preach the word. And we tell people their need of salvation. Why? Because the Lord said, "Go, and I will be with you." Just here, in closing then, we have a blessed nation in turmoil. Their disobedience was reproved. There was a decided repentance, and thus the Lord raised up a deliverer. The men and women this morning, is there one Gideon found here this morning? Someone willing to stand for the Lord in the sphere where the Lord would have them, at home, at the workplace, somewhere else, maybe further afield? Oh, that there would be hundreds of Gideons here this morning, willing to give all to serve the Lord. But friend, dear unsaved friend, there's a message of Christ, the Savior who came to take away the sin of man, mean anything to you? Do you have peace with God? Do you know the message which we stand here to preach today, and the message which Gideon was told to preach those years ago? Do you know the Savior from sin? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Savior today? May the Lord bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning. Amen.